إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. In the hadith, in the asbab al-nuzul of the last ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ Where Allah said that everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He can do whatever He wants. And He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is aware of all that you do and all that is in your hearts. And if He wishes, He will punish, and if He wishes, He will forgive. Now, when this ayat was revealed, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that this ayat was very heavy on the Sahaba because they went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they said to him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to pray and we pray. Allah ordered us to give zakat and we give zakat. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah will hold you accountable for what you say and do, and also for what you think and feel. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this, then what will happen to us? We will be destroyed. Because they said that our actions are in our control, our speech is in our control, but our thoughts and our feelings are not in our control. Some thought will come from somewhere, some feeling is there. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes us for that, then we will be destroyed. Now on the face of it, if you look at it, it sounds like a reasonable argument. But see the reaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed face became red with anger. And he said, will you be like the people before you, who when the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and when they were given some order, they would say, Sami'na wa asayna. We heard, but we will not obey. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say, قُلْ سَمِعَنَا وَعَطَانَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. He said, say, O our Rabb, we have heard and we will obey. Unquestioningly, we have heard and we will obey. غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. O Allah, forgive us and to you is our return. And then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that as soon as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this, the Sahaba did not argue. They did not say, oh no, but Ya Rasulullah, you know, you didn't really understand us, this is not what we meant, and we are not, none of this. As soon as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, قُلْ سَمَعْنَا وَعَطَانَا بُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ, the Sahaba immediately repeated that statement. They immediately accepted the reprimand of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam without argument, and they repeated that statement before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel, and then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that the result of this was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam with the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, about which there is so many fadail. One of which is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who recites these last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah in the night before he goes to sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him through the night. And the one who recites this in the day, Allah will protect him through the day. And that was the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, that whenever he, as soon as he woke up, he would recite these two ayats from Aman al-Rasul to the end. Every day, as soon as he woke up in the morning for tahajjud. Now, woke up in the night for tahajjud. Now, the key thing is to see what that ayat is. Jibreel Islam came with the ayah, Aman al-Rasulu bima unzila ilayhi مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِهِ وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so pleased with the action of the Sahaba and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was so pleased with the attitude of acceptance and obedience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent back the very words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his own kalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said this in his own words. He need not have repeated the statement of the Nabi and the Sahaba. But to honor the Nabi and the Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated that statement. And that statement came as the kalam of Allah. If the same statement had been part of the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, no matter how much we respected that hadith, and we would respect the hadith obviously, but we could not have recited it in Salah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the same words of his Nabi and returned them as his own words. And so we recite it in Salah. And not only do we recite it in Salah, that ayat has great honor among the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then of course the ayah subsequent to that, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Sahaba how to make dua and what to ask and so on till the end of the next ayah. The reason I'm saying this is that alhamdulillah, post Ramadan I'm seeing some changes in people. People who did not have beards have beards. Some people came and spoke to me about their intentions with regard to interest earnings, and some of them are some very substantial amounts of money. Now, what I want to say to you is, inshaAllah, this is a basharat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. The fact that Allah turned your heart where you did not do something all your life, but during this time of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in your heart to obey Him unquestioningly. And you decided to do that. And because you decided to do that, inshaAllah al-musta'an, this action of yours, although it might seem like an insignificant action. What is a beard? Hair on the face. Why is it so important? It's not a question of hair on the face. It's a question of the attitude in the heart. Nothing to do with the hair on the face. It has to do with the attitude in the heart. And that attitude in the heart is something which spells the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. People who have that attitude of Samayana wa Atana, Ghufrana ka Rabbana wa Ilayka al-Masir, are people who will inshallah be with the people who said that in the first instance. Who are the Sahaba al-Muqarraboon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And people who don't say Samayana wa Atana, who say Samayana wa Asayna, we heard but we will not obey, will be with those people who said Samayana wa Asayna. We ask Allah to protect us from that. And that is the reason why it's extremely important. Attitude comes before everything. Attitude comes before action. Action comes before results. So with the right attitude, you get the right action. The right action produces the right results. With the wrong attitude, you will get the wrong action, and the wrong action produces the wrong results. You can never get right results with the wrong attitude. It's impossible. Whether it's in dunya, whether it's in deen, anything, without the right attitude, you will never get the right results. Everything begins with whatever it is, whether it's customer service, whether it's organizational productivity, whatever, you take it. It has to begin with the right attitude. No amount of methodology can cure attitude. No amount of resources or technology or machines or software, nothing can substitute for the right attitude. Take schooling for example. If a teacher approaches his or her job like it's a job, I am doing it for a salary, that teacher is dead before he or she begins. She or he is dead like a dodo even before they begin. That's why I always say, before you enter the class, say to yourself, today I will teach like I have never taught before. Go in with that positive attitude. I really want to do something good for these children. I want this class to be the one thing that they will remember 50 years down the road. Babi and I, Zafar and I went to the same school. And we had a principal called Kruvela Jacob, and he will remember him and I will remember him. Today is now what, 50 years? Allah halam, 40 something years? The memory is fresh. And not that Kruvela Jacob ever taught a class for us. It's just encounters. One sentence said, one incident, but remains with us lifelong. Why? Because the man went to work with that attitude. And that attitude translates into making a difference in the life of people. For I don't think even he would have imagined that something he said people are going to talk about it 50 years later. But that is a reality. That is a reality, and that comes because of the right attitude. It's not technology, it's not I mean, those days, there were no computers, there was no nothing. There was no technology. It's nothing to do with that. All the rest helps. The right methodology helps, the right pedagogy helps, the right books help, the right technology helps. All of this is necessary. The right infrastructure is necessary, but everything comes after that too. So in this case, in point of the attitude of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very fact that Allah put in your hearts to obey Him, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Because it's only come with the hidayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's nothing to do with who said what and which lecture and which video or which encounter with which person. Nobody. It's purely and purely the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. If you find that you are obedient to Allah, this is from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to first and foremost thank Allah. Say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you put in my heart to obey you. There are 1,000 people like me, and there are 1,000,000 people like me. Some obey, some don't obey. How does it make a difference? So if you find that you are obedient to Allah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you firm in that. The second bashara, inshallah, is that actions which you do only and only to please Allah. And in today's world, the reason I keep saying beard is because the beard is one such action, inshallah. Because most people do not appreciate when somebody keeps a beard. You know, people will, they do it for a short time, not that they do it always, but at least initially most of us get some pushback from society who has nothing to do with us. I mean, the first time somebody commented on my beard, I said, well, this piece of real estate is mine. I do what I want on it, you know, it's my face, not your face. So, and that's the best attitude, then nobody will talk to you after that. So, but the point is that initially at least you will get some pushback, and usually you will get the pushback from your own family. You will get the pushback from your own friends. People will say, kya hoga re budda dikh raha re waisa aisa budda hai dikh raha kya karte. So what is the problem? So the point is that because you get this pushback, so therefore if you keep a beard, then inshallah this is purely and purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the basharat is, the good news is that any action which you have done in your life, and this is one of them, inshallah, and there may be others, may Allah give you and me more such actions, which we do purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one of the wasail, it is a wasila for dua. It is one of those things which if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dua with this, Ya Allah, I did this for you, and you know this, the sincerity of it, and if you are pleased with this action, then please accept this dua of mine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept that dua, inshallah. So keep this action. Keep this action. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that this action is good for one dua. No. Inshallah, this action is good for 1,000,000 duas. So also with interest earnings. So also with riba. I mean, money is difficult. I mean, it's easy to talk. But people who have interest earnings, people who have businesses, and some people have come and told me things. I tell you, subhanallah, Rajiv, I think to myself, what wonderful people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes their hearts like that. You know, substantial amounts of money. And they say, no, we realize now this is wrong. We will not take it. We won't take it. We won't touch it. It's not easy. It's very easy to talk about that. It's very difficult to give up that money when it is coming to you for free. Now that is a issue of wasila. If somebody like that, and I always, when somebody tells me that, I say, please remember to make dua for me. Because you are doing an action where Allah will not refuse you to make dua for me. Ask Allah to forgive me. That's the only dua I want. May Allah forgive me. So, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the attitude of obedience to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed our attitude. And insha'Allah al-musta'an, look forward to lots and lots of successes in your life. Look forward to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. Look forward to the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. Look forward to the acceptance of du'as. And as I said, please do not forget, forgive me in your du'a. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to punish me for my sins. Jazakallahu khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka Allahumma wa natubu ilayk.